Part two. So this study is the same title, Sacrifice and Offering You Would Not, But a Body Have You Prepared and Prepared Me. Verses 8 to 18 tonight. And as we discussed last week, this is talking about the body of Christ that God is preparing for the world, a living sacrifice just like Christ. And that's why that terminology comes up. Paul says, present yourself a living sacrifice. And of course, when we're aware of that, we know that God's doing something. He's preparing us. He's making a way for us through Christ to be that living sacrifice. So we'll look at verses 8 to 18. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offering, an offering for sin you would not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, which was above, as in the verses above. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will. O God, he takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for the sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's really another way of saying God's going to save all men, because if he says he's going to forget the iniquities and not remember them anymore, that means he's going to deal with the flesh and the law and all these things that they were doing in their flesh. I just added this section. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. I just strung these together just because I was thinking, what's a good way to paraphrase this whole study? And this is it. The Lord gave me this morning. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eats your master with the publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go you and learn what that means. I will have mercy. Learn what this means. And not sacrifice, which is what this was all about. This is all sacrificing in the temple. For I am not come to call the righteous. And really, he's talking about self-righteousness there. Just working, and not recognizing that it's Christ who has to do those works in us. But sinners to repentance, those who know they need a physician, which is all of us. And he said unto them, this now is Matthew 19, he said unto them, why call thou me good? There's none good but one God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto them, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. The young man saith unto him, now just look at the things that he mentioned there. He says, all these things I've kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? And the answer is here, Matthew 19:21. Jesus said unto him, if you will be perfect, go sell that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. That's being crushed under the stone. And then Matthew 111, Psalms 111, verse 118, Psalms 118, verse 1 to 3. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. Let Israel, the Israel of God, now say that his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endures forever. And finally, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. And loving God is keeping God's commandments, following Christ, and recognizing that God loved that rich young ruler that walked away. He loved him, but he knew he wasn't being dragged to him. Because if he was being dragged to him, he would have been crushed under that stone. He would have realized that he was really living a life that was a sacrificial life in his flesh, not by the faith of Christ, not with Christ living in him. And that's no one's fault. That's a calling. That's an unction that we have. As a living sacrifice presented to God today, our striving toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is what we do when we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, sacrificing unto God through Christ, which we will do, Lord willing. And those are the Lord willing verses, God permitting. And of course, you who say you go into a city ought to say, God willing, we will do this or that. The Israelites of old, sacrifice was offered by the law. And that represents what we all naturally do without the righteousness which is of God by faith. So we're not out of the woods, so to speak, because we're in our flesh. And this is why Paul wrote this very clear statement. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. It's just naturally there, which is of the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. It's a gift, that righteousness, the faith. It's all of the Lord. And down here, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So Christ was manifested in our life to deal with that spirit of that rich young ruler, and knows how to deal with us. And he loves us. And he says that's why we're going through this sanctification process. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And we're actually saying to God, well, I don't need a sanctification process. I just, you know, maybe a 10-second sinner's prayer will do it. But no, we know it's a lifetime process. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Or despise thou the goodness, the riches of his goodness, and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. That's God's good pleasure working in us, working and sanctifying and leading us unto repentance. That's his good pleasure to cleanse the temple and to work within us as the body of Christ, which we know. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's how the kingdom becomes brighter within us, how our hope increases, because we recognize there's a work happening here. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. All of those sacrifices, even the mindset, without knowing that, without following Christ and being led by the Spirit of God, you're still in the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Pardon me. Hey, Marvin. Christ comes into our life to take away the first, which is in Hebrews 10:9, way in which we say, Christ comes into our life to take away the first way in which we sacrifice by our own might and power, and replaces this way that he may establish the second, which is not by might or power, but by the righteousness which is of God by faith, which Zechariah 4:6 tells us. Being established in the Lord takes time, as Christ must destroy the man of perdition within us, likened unto the giants in the land that will be bred for us. So it's very encouraging. God knows the process we're going to go through, so he loads the scriptures up with this great encouragement, and that's why we break bread often. We want to be nourished. We want to be reminded of these promises. This is done by the brightness of his coming, which represents the increase that comes from God within us, who gives us the power to decrease or put off our flesh as Christ increases in us. This is the only way he can be established and we can ultimately be found without our own righteousness. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. You may not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. The beast of the field is inwardly the pride, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, especially pride. If we think that we're doing it, we're clearing the land. God is very careful with the elect to show us that he's setting us free, and he's working that within the body. Only rebel not you against the Lord. Don't rebel in the sense that you despise his goodness that's leading you onto repentance and say, why am I? Well, don't grow weary of his correction. God willing, we won't. But this is what this is talking about. Only rebel not you against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Don't fear the iniquity, the sin, the giants in your own land. Recognize they're there. God put them there. And our own iniquities will chasten us from time to time. But praise God that he's showing us those giants, and he's working that out of us. And he's showing us that we are being healed by the physician. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that comes from, that's that little and by little. He must increase, but I must decrease, little and by little. He that comes from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly. And speaks of the earth, he that comes from heaven is above all. And there's scriptures in John where it says that. They understand each other. People talk in the world, they get it. Because they're in the earth, they're speaking of earthly things. But we're speaking a new language. We're speaking of heavenly things. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. But the God of all grace, who has called us under eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. I've kept the same title as I mentioned for this week's study, seeing it fits the scriptures we'll be looking at very well. Sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body have you prepared for me, prepared me rather. And we'll look at the first three verses together. So above, when he says sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin you would not, neither had pleasure, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This has been really impressed. That body, we're sacrificed for each other, but God is doing that sacrifice. And that's the testimony that he's laying out for the world to say, this body was sacrificed for you. We were sacrificed for them. So they might not get that at first, and they won't. No one will understand that. But as time goes on, they will recognize the sacrifice, not that we did it of ourselves. We acknowledge God did that through us, but it was still a sacrifice by God's estimation. It was a body prepared. All of these sacrifices of old that God neither had pleasure in were done for our sakes in the Old Covenant to show us how God looks at the works of our flesh. And when I say works of the flesh, I'm not talking about the obvious sins of the flesh that are also something that God allows to manifest in the earth, but rather the sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings that represent those things we initially thought must be really pleasing to God, like physical healings and other physical signs given to us to demonstrate what is possible when we are given dominion over evil spirits. And that heralds back to that rich young ruler again. Those events of seeing devils be subject unto us through thy name that Christ's disciples experienced in Luke 10:17 were not things that God was against any more than he was against Israel's offering sacrifices in the temple. What is lost on us until Christ opens our heavens is that it is the works of Christ in us, which all of these works typify, that are the works that are truly pleasing to God. And precious, he says, precious is the death of the saints. So those works cause us to die daily, cause us to examine ourselves, cause us to to be introspective as Christians, looking at ourselves, examining who we are. The other works were also given to us to do by God through Christ, who we live and move and have our being in. So those works that were done of old, they were caused, they were all set up for our sakes. But without the mind of Christ, all of these actions are still connected to our flesh, or the law of sin in our members that makes us think that we did these services unto God. That is the part that God neither has pleasure, right up to the second resurrection, when people come up saying, "Have we not prophesied in your name?" Yes. "And in your name have cast out devils?" Yes. "And in your name done many wonderful works." And that's again Philippians 3:9, "and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law." So righteousness that is not attributed to Christ and the faith of Christ is still something that's being accomplished in the law. There's still a spirit of glory in that which was given unto them, and it takes that crushing by the stone to burn that out of us all, to say, "I'll take the lower seat." And this is something that God's working with us in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:7, "For who maketh thee to differ?" And you know, this is being what we don't want to be of the number. We don't want to say, well, do this comparative in our hearts. We know we're one body. We've been talking about that lately. "And what have you that you did not receive? Now, if you did receive it, why do you glory as though you had not received it?" And that heralds to, you know, in the old covenant, we talked about David's prayer. He says, "We're giving back to you that which was yours. So why do we glory in it?" Because we're flesh. Because flesh naturally glories in those things which God does through it. And that's what Christ has to show us and burn out of us. "And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and he follows not us, and we forbade him. And because he follows not us, Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there's no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part." Not sure what it says there. Yeah, there's a lot there. But anyways, let's just look at that in the middle so I don't have to read the whole thing. But I put this up here because look at now with the other of, and starting in Philippians 1:17, but the other of love, speaking about the gospel being preached, that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. That's what he's telling him. Christ is being preached. Whether they're going to be in the first resurrection or not is not relevant. What's relevant is Christ is being preached, and God is working with them, and he has his plans for them. "For who makes you to differ from another? And what have you that you did not receive?" And we read that. And Matthew 21:44, "Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken." Many people do. Many are called. "But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." That grinding is what takes away that wanting to glory in those things that God does through us. And it's a very lifelong process. That's his grace being made sufficient for us through our afflictions. God was not mad at the ancient Israelites for offering up these sacrifices. He wasn't mad at the rich young ruler for not following him. He loved him, it says. But rather, we're being told that these actions were not anywhere near the pleasing actions that Christ and his Christ would be able to accomplish through God's Holy Spirit being given as we present our lives a living sacrifice that is accepted through Christ. Through Christ. That's why Christ said, "Follow me, follow me." God loves all of his creation, even while they are yet sinners. He loved us and loves us, worshiping God in a manner that in the long run, this creation will be revealed as only a type and shadow of the real worship in spirit and truth that his elect is privileged to experience. Christ told his disciples to rejoice that their names were written in heaven. Their names. For the same reason mentioned in Revelation, to rejoice, because the bride has made herself ready, having Christ in our heavens, is that new name spoken of in Revelation chapter 2. So there's a correlation there. "But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. And the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. You know, and that's really just another way of saying, don't become puffed up. Romans 11, God's giving us dominion. He's working with us. And so he's saying, don't understand what's happening. I have everyone exactly where they are. He's showing mercy to us to be able to tread on those things, those powers and principalities. But he says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And that's what it means to have your name written in heaven. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. And that's what Christ said. You're not known. They didn't know Christ in the earth, and they won't know us. They won't see that relationship that we have, because it's a heavenly relationship. God's elect have their names written in heaven, and that means that we are seated with Christ in heaven and able to not just identify the false doctrines in this earth, but also, which is what those spirits they were driving out represents, but also continue to abide in Christ in order to overcome those spirits, which Christ said, if you continue in the doctrine, continue to abide with me. That's being crushed under the stone. Then you will be disciples indeed, which Stephen just talked about recently there. What does it mean? Well, that means to abide in the word, continuing on in this narrow path. It takes our names written in heaven to have Christ take away the first, that he may establish the second, and by the which will we are sanctified is how this will be accomplished, which is what it means to be born again. So that's an interesting phrase, by the which will. If we look at that, we'll come to that in a second. That is how we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we know the kingdom of God is within. And he's talking to us right now. We're seeing the kingdom. We're seeing the kingdom in each other. We're seeing Christ, the King, and we're seeing our Father, and we're seeing those works unfolding. This is also right after this parable discussed in Luke 10, verses 17 to 20, that Christ rejoiced. He rejoiced because he knew the bride was going to be made ready, and seeing what his Father was able to do in heaven and in earth, meaning the work of God within his predestined elect's heaven and earth, Christ's bride being made ready. And the 70 return again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now I know, I told Gail this week, I've had several dreams being back at the homestead, and there were serpents all over the place, and I was walking all over them. I wasn't being bitten, and I was walking around. So that was now I can see the comfort of that, because God says you're in the world, you're not of it, but he knows what we're dealing with all the time. He knows what's in the heart of man, and he knows how to protect us as long as we are wise as serpents and gentle as doves, and beware of men. Beware, but be close and stay close to the body of Christ and to our Lord. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, right after he discussed this, talking about having dominion and our names being written in heaven, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. So what does that mean? Well, we know what it means. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, has God chosen, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Identifying sin is not overcoming sin, which is what the 70 who returned with joy had done. They had identified these powers being cast forth from these people. The Holy Spirit was not yet dwelling within these disciples. And that, of course, is Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The seven spirits worse of Luke 11, 26 represents the complete power that sin has over us, described as a strong man, that only Christ, our hope of glory within, can prevail to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. That strong man that must be overtaken by a stronger man represents Satan, who we see fall as lightning from our heaven. It is because our names are written in heaven, with Christ as our hope of glory within, that we can overcome the powers and principalities that we wrestle against. But he, knowing your thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls, which is what we all start off. That's the house that we are, that's built on sand. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, this is Christ, of course, and overcome him, he takes from him all his armor wherein he trusted. That's the rich young ruler, all his armor that he trusted, and devises spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scatters. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he's come, he finds it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. But that's true, and iniquity will abound more and more. We'll have a very profound witness of this at the end of the age. And, of course, then the Lord will also have that repeat during the 1,000 years, because many of those things will be dealt with. Many of those spirits will be bound. Satan will be bound, that's for sure. And yet mankind will have the cup clean, but there'll be no conversion. There'll be many wonderful works during that time. But at the end, when God, then the sacrifice is less and less, and the heart of man is revealed for what it is. It hasn't changed. Satan's loose for a season, and then seven spirits worse come back, and they come up against us, Gog and Magog. So that's the whole pattern. It repeats and repeats. And God's just showing us that without Christ, of course, there is no conversion. There is no building up that new temple. No matter what kind of works we do in our flesh, God is only interested in the ultimate building up of that new temple that Christ builds within us. The disciples thought that their sacrifice and offering of going out and seeing spirits subject unto us, notice, through thy name, was something to be commended. Christ pointed to a greater spiritual event for those called to overcome in this life, which would involve having Satan fall from our heavens as lightning, being destroyed by the brightness of his coming. In other words, beholding Satan fall from heaven is what the dragon that gives power to the beast must experience of Revelation 13:4 as a result of Christ overtaking him. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that's that free moral agency. I, captain of my own salvation, I'll decide what to do. And that's the spirit that God is burning out of us, so that we know we need Christ every breath we take, everything that we do. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And that's what he says, and no man comes unto the Son unless the Father drags us there. And that's when we find real life, real ruach, real, the real breath of life, the Spirit of God, which gives us eyes to see and ears to hear. Verses 11 to 13, and every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for the sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins, of Hebrews 10:11, reminds us that we bring nothing to the altar of our own selves. It takes the life of Christ in us and his spotless sacrifice that he offered for sins forever in order to redeem mankind. Christ is now sat down on the right hand of God, the right hand representing the power of God, where we are seated in Christ Jesus to accomplish this. The daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins, become a reality in the spirit within the heavens of those who are blessed to die daily today through Christ, whose death we are baptized into. I protest by your rejoicings, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's going to take time until all his enemies be made his footstool, and it was the one sacrifice for sins forever that put Christ in the position to be our high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. It is Christ who now sits on the right hand of God, who knows we will drink the cup with him as the author and the finisher of our faith, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, is another way of saying God will be all in all, and that he will give those whom he is working with now dominion over sin, the earnest expectation that we can and will overcome with our hope of glory within. Christ had this confidence when he was on the earth, and we can cry out for the same confidence. So if you feel you lack that confidence, help me in my unbelief, because we all have to have the same confidence to be a healthy body working together. And I believe, and I'm convinced that we do, but we still have to know that that can wane. And God says, cleave to me for that very reason. Resist the devil. Keep fighting a good fight of faith. We need that confidence. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. That's confidence. Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So here are some verses that talk about confidence. And this is interesting because it's negative, positive, right? For we are of the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Confidence in your flesh? No. Confidence that Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, that we are raised in heavenly places, and that we're more than conquerors through him. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now look at that. Hebrews 10:35, recompense of the reward, confidence. Confidence is connected to the reproach of Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:16 tells us this. If it'll come out there. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That's what Moses was saying. This is of greater value to suffer with the people of God. It's type and shadow for Moses, but for us, this is where our confidence comes. When we recognize that we're one body, we're suffering together, we are Jesus Christ, and he's working this work in us. And that is how his grace abides upon us, and we continue to go forward confidently in the Lord. Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. This verse is speaking about how the works that Christ does in us are perfect and what they accomplish through the sanctification process that we are called unto. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Moreover, whom he predestinated, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. For this is what it means to say, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's his good pleasure, to call us, to justify us and glorify us. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Which brings us to Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So there's no doubt, if we are being saved, we will be saved. God will save us. It is by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. We know that we go on to perfection on the third day, but that which God does within us day by day as we decrease and Christ increases is perfect in what it accomplishes in those works that will lead to that perfection on the third day, in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. God chose the elect to be holy and without blame before him in love, before the foundation of the world, walking in those works as his workmanship. And there's the tense. It's a perfect tense. It's what God does right now. Like I always joke with Gail, I said, God's batting average, I think it's 1,000, which it is, and it always will be. And I pondered on that when I first started to have my heavens open. I was like, why are we giving him such a poor average? That's because we're looking at God through the prism of our flesh. So he's called us to see, no, this is, I'm going to finish what I've started in you through Christ. And he said unto them, go you and tell out fox, behold, I cast out devils. I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. He must decrease and I must increase. He must increase, but I must decrease. That would be better. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So what are those good works? Walk in love, as Christ has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, it's God's mercies, his mercy, his hand that will help us through this to be this living sacrifice, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your divine or reasonable service. Verses 15 and 16, the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he has said before, this, the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. That's also in Ezekiel. The Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Is also expressed by Christ this way. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. And that witness of the Comforter, what the Comforter can do, is explained in the parable of the two witnesses who represent the body of Christ. So it's a collective witness. We are the body of Christ. We are, all things are working together in this body of Christ for the good, for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. That's all part of this witness. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. And so we know that sackcloth represents that putting off the flesh and mourning and repentance, recognizing that God is leading us unto that repentance so that we continue to acknowledge his power, that he's the one doing the work through us. That witness of God's Spirit being given to his elect is how the covenant that I will make with them after those days will be accomplished. The Lord will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And the result of that gift being given to us is that we will, like Christ, be able to say, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Which is why it can be said, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Coming in the name of the Lord is coming with an obedient heart that God has formed and enabled to keep his commandments. For all those things hath my hand made. Look at that. That obedient heart, the ability to overcome sin, the ability to endure unto the end. All those things has my hand made. All those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. So that too is a gift of God. Verses 17 and 18, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Our sins and iniquities are forgiven, and we are pressing forward in order to be cleansed of those things that God shows us need to be repented of. It takes remission of these sins made possible through the sacrifice of Christ. There is no more offering for sin that we can offer in our flesh because we are now living by the faith of Christ, who is giving us the power to fill up what is behind of the afflictions in this life, so that we of Christ in this life, so we can be a living sacrifice and offering for sin for the world through Christ, who is the fit man who can accomplish this within our life, making us an acceptable sacrifice to God through him. I could have shortened that all down and just said, consider yourself dead to sin and alive in Christ, because that's what it means. Christ sacrifice, that new man in us, is being revealed through the power of God's Holy Spirit. And he's telling us, be confident of that. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If we walk in the light, and this is what we will find when we're pressing. As we're pressing, walking in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's where the light is. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We give that accounting. He brings us to see, okay, we want to grow, we want to mature. Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance. This is the wrong thing to do, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. And we do it first. We kick and we buck until we stop, until the Lord says, he brings us to our wits' end. Do we despise God for telling us that we are going to be cleansed from all sin through Jesus Christ and his body? God willing, we can. God willing, we can see, we don't need another wiener, and accept the process that is unfolding that reveals his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, and give thanks to our Father that he does harden our hearts and cause us to err. And then, by the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanse us from all sin. It's that hardening of our hearts that brings us to see who we are, and then he cleanses us if we're granted to cry out. Proverbs 3:11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Of how much sore punishment. So if we got tired of that, and that would be of the Lord too, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God. that process and has counted the blood, that process, that remission of sin, of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing. This is not changing me. I'm not doing anything. I go back into the world. That's what it means to go back into the world, to not see your need to be cleansed, to continually die daily, to not grow weary of his correction, and hath done despite the spirit of grace. The favor of God is really just God being merciful to continue to prepare the bride. And we're all going through this together. So we're not, it's not a lonely walk. It may seem that way for the flesh, but spiritually we're so blessed and so encouraged by everybody and all of the prayers, to know that someone's praying for you in your time of need. That's an incredible blessing. A fervent prayer of a saint that avails much when we're going through crises. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, that's how that happens, by having the Spirit of God within us. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat. Now notice, it's a live goat, right? Likewise, reckon also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what makes us that live goat. And confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send them away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Being brought into the wilderness, which represents the world that we are in but not of, is how we become a sacrifice, an offering. You would not, but a body have you prepared. So that's what this preparation is all about, God putting us through this training. If you are of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Very clear. And this is accomplished, that sacrifice, but a body have you prepared me, and this is accomplished through Christ, who is the fit man, who gives us the power to overcome and endure until the end, filling up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. The experience of evil that we go through in this life, to humble us thereby, brings us to give an accounting before God as his first fruits, who are nourished through that judgment process. We really are, so that we can then in turn nourish and heal the world through judgment as a sacrifice and offering you would not, but a body have you prepared me. That discernment is what God's giving us through the trials, through the suffering, so we discern good and evil, because and this is in Mike's study so much, so it's been brought to my attention in Jeremiah's. God wants us to know the effect of sin and why we're going through it, because he's causing it. Well, why is he causing us to sin? Why is he hardening our hearts? Because he's preparing us to be kings and priests, to be able to discern good and evil and judge the world, which is what we will do. Obadiah tells us what our role will be in that regard as saviors, who are the bride of Christ, who has made herself ready. And of course, we know this verse, Obadiah, and Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge them out of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Let us rejoice and be exceeding glad. What does that mean, to be exceeding glad? Well, the day I got married to Gail, I was exceeding glad. And not surprising that it's connected to marriage, because that's the most exceedingly glad moment. Well, this is what God has given us. Let us rejoice and be exceeding glad 1,000-fold. Let us give the glory unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he's receiving us as a wife, as a bride, and as the body of Christ that will do that work that God set before us to reconcile the world through Jesus Christ. It's all God doing it through Christ. But that's the honor that he gives to these first fruits, this incredible honor. And that's our study. Thank you all for coming out.